From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. As the number of men in prominent positions of power around the country are outed as sexual predators and losing their jobs and careers over it, we'll spend the hour today bringing you the voices of women who spoke at the recent hashtag MeToo Survivors March in Hollywood, California. Among the speakers was Tarana Burke, the original founder of hashtag MeToo, as well as the March founder Brenda Gutierrez, actress Frances Fisher, activist Ivy Kicho, journalist Jasmine Kanick, and others. That's coming up in just a moment. From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Longtime television host Charlie Rose has been suspended from his CBS News show this week in the wake of allegations by eight women who said they had been groped by him or been subjected to unwanted sexual advances. Meanwhile, Democratic Senator Al Franken has been hit with new allegations by a woman who says he groped her in 2010 after he was already an elected official. Glenn Thrush, a prominent New York Times reporter, has also been suspended after being accused of sexual misconduct. Rose, Franken, and Thrush join a growing list of prominent men who have been exposed as sexual predators since the revelations around Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein came to light. The Weinstein revelation sparked a massive online social movement under the banner of hashtag MeToo by women who have courageously begun to share the pervasive sexism and assaults that they've been subjected to for decades. Many hope that this movement will out men regardless of their political alliances, whether they are as right-wing as Republican President Donald Trump or as liberal as Democratic President Bill Clinton. On Sunday, November 12th, hundreds of women and their male allies gathered in the heart of Hollywood in Southern California to highlight the growing strength of the hashtag MeToo movement. Among the speakers at the hashtag MeToo Survivors March was the founder of the hashtag, Tarana Burke. Well, if you missed the march, we're going to spend the hour today bringing you the speeches of the powerful women who spoke and even sang at the Hollywood rally. The videos you're about to see and hear were recorded by Shannon Soper of Studio Vism, which is online at studiovism.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Me Too Survivors March. Who's excited for this? Woo! Let's hear it. Let's hear that again. Let's Hollywood make them listen to us. That's right. And before we get started, I would just like to ask everyone, if you can hold someone's hand right now, whoever is next to you, hold their hand. Because this movement is not about us individually. It's us as a movement. And that's why we're here today. And that's why all of us say Me Too.
I got it.
Hashtag Me Too was created by activist Tarana Burke a decade ago. Since the hashtag Me Too went viral 2 weeks ago in the wake of sexual harassment allegations against producer Harvey Weinstein, Twitter reports more than 1.7 million women and men have used the hashtag in 85 countries. That's a lot of people. We have a problem. This is the power of hashtag Me Too, the power of us. Today, we gather to bring light to our experience as living as women in this day and age. Today, we are strong. Today, we are brave. Today, we are the face of the movement, each and every one of us. If you were scared before, if you are scared today, if you are scared tomorrow, you are part of this movement. Whatever experience you went through, it happened. There's no way to change it. But the way that we change is by not being victims, but by being victors. So everyone, raise your hand and say, me too.
Me too.
Me too.
Me too.
We are here today because we have an amazing leader in our community. She saw the hashtag going viral and she said, we have to do something about it. Brenda Gutierrez. She's the lead organizer. She first saw her Facebook newsfeed fill up with the hashtag MeToo status. And in reaction to this, she felt heartbroken and angered to see that many of us have been dealing with this alone in silence. As an activist and grassroots community organizer with California for Progress, she is used to marching and rallying for a variety of social issues. As MeToo caught fire, she and other survivors started asking, why don't we do a march for this? Why is this subject kept in the shadows? And why do we only hear about sexual assault when it involves someone famous? All of us here today are important, no matter if we're famous, if we're rich, if we're privileged, if we're unprivileged, no matter our story, we're important. Here is Brenda Gutierrez, the leader and the person that brought all of us together today. Please give her a hand.
I know I'm getting way too much credit, but I definitely have to give credit to Tarana Berg because she was the one that inspired me to begin with. It's a little bit, if you would have told my 15-year-old self that I would be here talking about this issue, I wouldn't have believed it. I guess as survivors, we're used to saying this, keeping it to ourselves, not knowing who to turn to. One of the biggest things that I thought about when I decided to, like, hey, let's get this march together, is like, let's show people that we're not alone. One of the biggest messages that I want to make sure that we all go with this today is that we will no longer be silenced and we will no longer be ashamed. We are survivors, we are warriors, and we will not stop until there's a change.
Right.
I want my nieces and my nephews to grow up and to be able to say, what is that? Why is this, like, even an issue? And it bothers me that we do only pay attention when it's someone famous. We're forgetting that this happens in our communities every day. It happens in our military, it happens to our indigenous women. You know, I keep thinking, this is more than just about me. This is more just than just each individual here. This is for all of us. And it makes me want to cry just seeing everyone here, because growing up, I thought I was alone. And I'm looking at the audience and I realize I'm not alone, and neither are you, because we're here for you. And like I said, you know, we will no longer be ashamed. We will no longer be silenced. And we're here and we're proud. We're survivors and we're warriors, and we will get through this together and we will make a change. Thank you.
Now we have a very special person coming up, because this activist has been working for over a decade. And just now we're coming to learn about her and her movement. But this has been going on for 10 years and even longer than that. Tarana Burke. Anybody know that name? The allegations against Harvey Weinstein became public knowledge, and we got to learn about Tarana Burke, who was already helping young women talk about sexual assault, working with girls at an organization she co-founded called Just Be Inc. She heard a lot of reports of sexual assault, and she wanted to offer young survivors what she needed in the aftermath of her own assault: empathy. So she started the hashtag MeToo campaign to spread a message for survivors. You were heard, you were understood, and we are here today saying, Me Too! Here is Tarana Burke.
Today marks the fourth Sunday since the start of the phenomenon that is the hashtag MeToo. Nothing in the last decade of using Me Too in my work against sexual violence could have prepared me for what has happened in the last month. And although one of the most sensational results of this viral moment has been watching the mighty fall like autumn leaves, that's a New York reference. Golly, I know y'all don't really have that, but although that's been one of the most sensational things about this, that is not what I'm here to talk about today. I don't want to spend a moment of my time calling the names of folks who don't deserve to share breath with me. Because this day is not for them. This day is for us. So today I want to call names like Alicia Barrows, founder of Tell Somebody Inc., who is working to end the culture of silence around child sexual abuse, and Brenda Gutierrez, who had the vision for today's march. I want to call the names of survivor leaders across the country who are on the ground doing work every day, like LA's own Amita Swadin. I want to spend time honoring survivors like all of you here today, in spite of. See, there's a lot of attention on us right now and a lot of talk about how the power of Me Too will bring down Hollywood.
Yeah.
But let me take you back for a moment to a time before hashtags. Just like the courage and strength it took you all to gather here in spite of your present fears and invisible scars, Me Too was always about helping survivors figure out what life could look like in spite of. It was a permissive whisper, an exchange of empathy between knowing souls that helped to forge a pathway away from the shame so many of us carry and struggle with daily. I have witnessed these simple words help propel people onto their healing journey for years. But I could never imagine having a global community of what is now well over millions of people across 85 countries. At this point, no one using social media can say that they haven't seen it. Me Too is everywhere. But I don't want us to get lost in the numbers. We have all of the empirical data that we need to know that this issue will not be ignored. But I would be lying if I said I didn't have concerns about this viral moment. Yes, the numbers are amazing. But what is more important is that the world understand that every single time you see the hashtag MeToo, it represents a story that was created in tragedy but found its way to triumph. Every hashtag is an act of bravery or a bold declaration or a breakthrough even. But behind every hashtag is also a person. And while our collective voices make up a beautiful chorus, we cannot lose sight of the underlying factor, the common denominator that brought us here. It's easy to be swept up in the hype and the numbers, but what we represent here today, what we represent by gathering and marching in the streets this afternoon, is a reminder, a living, breathing reminder that we are human beings, not hashtags. The sexual violence that we endured, whatever it was an attempt to undermine our humanity. But as we all stand here in beautiful unison, we are a glorious rejection of that. With our whole bodies and with our whole hearts, we come today out of the shadows and away from the dark, hollow narrative that we are somehow complicit in our own abuse. We come to stand in the face of fear and ridicule and rejection and shame and say, you tried to take me out because you thought I was alone, but not today. For every one of you who has a story, no matter where you fall on the spectrum of sexual violence, please know that your voice, your presence, your dignity, your humanity matters. You are not the sum of your experiences. You are a gift to the world. And today we stand together to make sure the world knows this. I've heard more times than a little bit that this is the start of the movement. But many of you, like me, have been at this for years. So I'm clear that the Me Too movement is a spoke in the wheel of a larger movement to end gender-based violence. I've been a part of that movement for the better part of a decade. But you and I know that before 4 Sundays ago, you would have never known my name. Which brings me to my next point. The origins of Me Too are rooted deep in the most marginalized communities, in school cafeterias and church basements that provided safe spaces for black and brown girls forgotten and dismissed by those who had resources to help them. So it pains me that black and brown women and girls in communities where Me Too was born now feel disconnected from this moment. We can march, and we can make our own voices heard. But if we are not centering and elevating the voices often drowned out, meaning Black folks and brown folks and Native folks and Asian folks and queer folks and trans folks and disabled folks, then our work will ring hollow. This moment we are in did not happen in a vacuum. It was built on the backs of these same folks. You can't get to Gretchen Carlson without Anita Hill. You can't get to Alyssa Milano, who I pay homage to, by the way, but you can't get to her without Tarana Burke. And while I'm grateful for her amplification of this movement, I want to be clear that women of color have been on the front lines for years. Okay, so the big question is, what happens next? First, let me stop and ask everyone here to take out your phone and text the words Me Too to 90975. I don't want to forget that. That is the way that we are keeping in touch with folks so people can know what's happening as things go on in the work that we're doing. I want everybody to be involved. And plus, my people would kill me if I didn't say that. It's 90975. Text the words Me Too. It's true that the viral moment will pass, but the work is just beginning. The Me Too movement is focused on two things: providing resources for survivors, particularly those with traditionally less access, and helping folks take action on the ground in their communities to interrupt sexual violence. We are the embodiment of the personal is political. We want and demand radical change as long as we harness the power of this moment, we will not lose, because losing is not an option. We have kicked in the door, and now it's time to tear down the house brick by brick. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. And if you're ready, if you are ready, let me hear you say Me Too.
Me Too.
Me Too. Thank you.
You've been watching and listening to speeches by women speakers at the hashtag MeToo Survivors March that took place on November 12th in Hollywood, California. Special thanks to Shannon Soper of Studio Vism, who recorded and made available to us this footage. You can find out more at studiovism.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. After this break, we'll continue the rally. From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. We're spending the hour today hearing the speeches given at the recent hashtag MeToo Survivors March that took place on November 12th in Hollywood, California. We return now to the stage for part two of the rally.
The next speaker is somebody you might recognize on the big screen. I'm a big fan myself. Frances Fisher is an actress and activist. She is extremely grateful to her fellow actresses who brought sexual assault to the attention of the mainstream media through the New York Times and the New Yorker. She is here now to stand with survivors from all walks of life. She is the executive board member of the Environmental Media Association and is serving as a national board member for SAG-AFTRA. She is working with an amazing group of women to create a National Women's History Museum in Washington, D.C. because we deserve it, right? Ms. Fisher was a surrogate for Bernie Sanders and spent time at Standing Rock supporting the water protectors. So help me welcome Frances Fisher.
Woo!
Hey, everybody. Little housekeeping note. Remember to pick up your trash and your signs when we leave.
Yeah.
I'm a mother. Protect Mother Earth. I didn't know what to say because I know every lady up here speaking is going to say what's in my heart, so I called Eve Ensler. You know Eve Ensler, the Vagina Monologues and 1 Billion Rising. She's been working with women across the world about violence against women and stopping sexual assault and sexual harassment and everything else. So she sent me something. May I read it to you? I am over rape. I'm over women, cisgender, transgender, and gender nonconforming, having to tell our stories over and over, traumatizing and re-traumatizing ourselves over and over, when the stories and the names and the identities of perpetrators remain protected and anonymous. I am over rape culture, where privileged men with political and physical and economic power take what and who they want, when they want it, as much as they want, anytime they want it. This would include the super predator in chief, Donald Trump, who was elected by bragging about grabbing women's a**s without their consent and who has more than 15 charges of abuse against him. Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, the list is endless. It's not enough to fire them and have them walk away with millions. Sexual abuse is already illegal. I am over how long it takes for anyone to respond to rape, how long corporations and partners protect abusers through payouts and backroom deals. If that same president or CEO stole money from you or killed someone, you can bet they'd be fired on the spot and he would be charged in court. I am over the 3 out of 4 women who experience sexual harassment feeling they can't tell anyone for fear of losing their job or of not being believed. I am over women being slowly made insane and angered and humiliated and shamed by being forced to ignore, deny, block out, tolerize, minimize the sexual harassment in order to survive. I am over 33 million US women being sexually harassed and 14 million sexually abused in work-related incidents. I am over domestic workers being held as sex slaves. I am over room attendants in hotels having to fight to get panic buttons installed on their beings because they can hardly bend over to clean a bathtub without fear of being attacked by male guests. I am over restaurant workers being made to tolerate being grabbed, insulted, degraded, and harassed at jobs because they are reliant on tips and paid $2.30 an hour. I'm over 76% of nurses being verbally assaulted and kicked, punched, bitten, grabbed, or attacked by their patients or visitors on the job. I am over 60% of women farm workers suffering sexual abuse, so much so that their place of work has been named the Field del Calzón, the field of the panties. I am over the hundreds of thousands of women in Congo still waiting for the rapes to end and the rapists to be held accountable. I am over being polite about rape. It's been too long now. We have been too understanding. We need it to end now. We need people to truly try and imagine once and for all what it feels like to have your body invaded, your mind splintered, your soul shattered. And really, deeply, truly, I am over the passivity of good men. Where the hell are you? You live with us, work with us, make love with us, father us, befriend us, brother us, get us. That you nurtured, you're mothered, you're eternally supported by us. So why aren't you standing with us? Not the guys here, obviously. Why aren't you driven to the point of madness and action by the rape and harassment, degradation and humiliation of us? Why aren't you rising in droves, going beyond apologies and confessions, realizing this is your issue? Not ours. Why don't you see yet If you were to stand as one fierce band of insistent, consistent, loving men, speaking to your brothers, calling out your brothers, interrogating yourselves, dismantling patriarchy in every boardroom, audition hall, hotel, hospital, office, farm, reservation, school, locker rooms, this whole thing could change overnight. There are approximately 1 billion women on the planet who have already been violated. 1 billion women and girls. Can we rise together? Can we change the paradigm? Can we rebirth the culture? Because we know that when women are free and safe and equal and allowed to be alive in all their intensity, the whole story will finally change? Yes? Yes? Yeah. Me too.
I just want to briefly mention some of the stories that we can see on Twitter. Rafaela says, me too, he was my stepfather. Troy says, I was 15, he was 24. I said stop, he kept going. May says, me too, he was 56 and I was 17. Ivy Kitcho is a rape survivor and the Affirm National Chairperson. Affirm has been hosting the Purple Rose Day campaign for more than 18 years to stand up against the capitalist assault on women's bodies and speaking out against the trafficking and commodification of women and children's bodies. Please help me welcome Ivy Kitcho. How are you all doing today? I can't hear you. How are you all doing today? Whose street?
Our
street.
Whose street?
Our street.
Whose street?
Whose street? Thank you all for coming out today. Give yourselves a round of applause. My name is Ivy Kitcho and I am the national chairperson of Affirm, an all-volunteer, transnational feminist, anti-imperialist organization of women of color and of survivors. I am here in front of you, quite literally, because my activist organizing has saved my life. I was a victim of child sexual abuse starting at the age of 2, a victim of rape at the age of 15 by someone I knew, not necessarily a rich, powerful public predator, and a victim of intimate partner physical violence as an adult, not to mention all the other forms of structural violence that come with being a woman of color, specifically an Asian Pacific Islander, daughter of Filipino immigrant parents, and growing up in poor working class neighborhoods in a country that has intentionally stacked the odds against me. As a survivor, there have been many times that I wanted to give up. From the exhausting, daily demeaning thoughts that prevent you from doing simple tasks like getting out of bed, to the terrifying panic attacks from flashbacks, to the nightly jaw clenching and hip tightness because our body parts hold sadness, not just from today, but generations past. But sisters, I am here today to tell you that because of my 13 years of organizing and Affirm has provided me the one thing that pushes me forward, the one thing that gets me up every single day when I have suicidal thoughts, the one thing that pushes me to keep on track, and that is hope. We in Affirm are here to tell all the women of color, black, brown, yellow, indigenous, trans women, each and every woman of color like me, that we see you. This is our commitment to you. We will do what our ancestors had done and taught us for centuries. We will get back up every time with even more seething rage. We will resist every twisted tactic they may throw at us,
and we will fight with every last drop of strength we have left until genuine liberation is ours. The hashtag MeToo movement exposes on a mainstream level what has been happening to women, particularly women of color, for centuries. 4,500 years ago, patriarchy was created when we women became the first form of property. Rape culture didn't just come out of nowhere. It was born out of what we in Affirm call the perceived patriarchal entitlement to women's bodies. For centuries, access to women of color's bodies in particular has been expected. And this belief has been given life through colonization when our bodies and land were ravished. Through capitalism when our bodies became commodified for prostitution. Through imperialism and war and military when we were sold on a large scale for what has become the global sex trade. From the online mail order bride system to institutionalized red light districts to the attempts at legalizing prostitution. Sisters, while this has been happening to us for all this time, what Trump, what those sexists, what those misogynists, what those fascists who uphold patriarchy seem to forget is that we are still here and we are not going anywhere. When someone asked me what I thought about the publicly finally listening, and not just listening, but with compassion and believing our stories, they asked me what my response was to this. And to be honest, my response was, it's about goddamn time. Now is the time that society stops normalizing harassment, assault, and rape as a private, everyday occurrence that used to be acceptable. This was never acceptable. And what we talk about when we talk about sexual assault and rape, we have to talk about it as a way to dehumanize in order to amass power and control. This is not about sex addiction. This is about amassing power and control over women and our communities that we oversee. Now is the time that we see how these recent acts of terror are all connected. It is no coincidence that from Charlottesville to Las Vegas to Texas, the common denominator is and has been domestic violence. We are living in an era of fascism that relies on the subjugation of women. To end violence on our communities, we must end violence against women. Now is the time that when we talk about sexual harassment of rich, famous actresses in Hollywood, we also talk about the marginalized voices, including Native Americans who've experienced sexual assault at more than double than any other population. We must talk about the sexual assault and murder of our homeless trans sisters, not just by the everyday person, but by killer cops who are hired to protect us when in fact they inflict the violence on our people, particularly our Black community. Now is the time that we not only talk about assault of white collar professionals, but that we center the experience of undocumented women, Filipina domestic workers who are raped by their captive employers, of immigrant women from Mexico who get sexually assaulted several times en route as they cross the border. That we talk about the experience of our Middle Eastern sisters, also known as Southwest Asia, North Africa sisters, who face Islamophobia on top of the sexual assault. It's time that we talk about the trafficked, prostituted Asian women in massage parlors who are sexually exploited and must be decriminalized while stopping the legislation and legalization of a system predicated on the sale of rape. Now is the time that we talk about accountability and what that is and what that looked like. And while simultaneously demanding accountability of individuals who perpetuate the hate and the violence, such as resignation, such as apologies, we must also demand that these systems that breed violence and patriarchy also be dismantled, including ICE, including the prisons, including Trump, who is in office. Sisters, today I challenge you to practice a feminism that is revolutionary. Let us go beyond building a sisterhood rooted in suffering and build a sisterhood rooted in societal transformation. Let us continue to share our stories to demand justice and accountability, but let us also actively work on dismantling the structures and the culture of rape that breeds this violence so that future generations will not only not know rape, will not only not know sexual assault, but they will never know the concept of violence against our people. Most importantly, let us be bold in our dreaming of liberation and reimagine what justice could look like, taste like, feel like. Perhaps it isn't just demanding individual accountability in Hollywood. Perhaps it is ensuring marginalized women of color hold positions in every power level in the film and industry. Perhaps it isn't just demanding resignation of those who assault in academia, but it is demanding that the type of material taught in schools and universities also include exercises to unlearn patriarchy. Perhaps it isn't just electing more marginalized women and peoples into office, it is changing how those offices function, giving more power to the people. Sisters, we are a target for one reason and one reason alone. Because they fear our collective power and growing movement. We are still here and we are not going anywhere. And what we in Affirm say, a woman's place is not in the home, it's not in the kitchen, it's not in the bedroom. A woman's place is here in the streets, at the helm of the struggle for liberation of all people. Now I want you to chant with me so that all of Hollywood and all the tourists can hear us. When women and children are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. When women and children are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Thank you.
You've been watching and listening to speeches by women speakers at the hashtag MeToo Survivors March that took place on November 12th in Hollywood, California. Special thanks to Shannon Soper of Studio Vism, who recorded and made available to us this footage. And you can find out more at studiovism.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. When we come back, we'll hear the third and final installment of the rally. From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. We're spending the hour today hearing the speeches given at the recent hashtag MeToo Survivors March that took place on November 12th in Hollywood, California. We return now to the stage for the third and final part of the rally.
Next up, we have Jasmine Kanick. She's a nationally known writer and media commentator on political, race, and social issues. As a change agent, she was selected as one of Essen Magazine's 25 Women Shaping the World and one of the most influential African Americans in Los Angeles under 40. A well-known communication strategist, she worked in Congress, California State Assembly, and at the local level, advocating for underrepresented and marginalized communities. Through her journalism, Ms. Kanick has been the driving force behind calling attention to the story of the death of Jamil Moore at Democratic donor Ed Buck's home and the numerous allegations made against Buck by young black gay men. So let's hear it out for Jasmine Kanick.
Hey everybody, let me try this out. Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all all right? All right, that's what I'm talking about. When we talk about the sexual harassment of women in America, let me tell you that it's a short leap from bitch and hoe to me too. I'm going to repeat that for you. It is a very short leap from the words bitch and hoe to you standing out here saying me too. While it's no secret that the film industry has an undeniable problem with complicity when it comes to the sexual harassment and abuse of women, less talked about is the music industry's complicity and role in adding to the stories of Me Too. Look, I love hip hop. I want to make that very clear. This is not an assault on hip hop because I grew up on hip hop. I love hip hop. But as a self-respecting, Black conscious woman in America, there's very little of what is being peddled today that they call hip hop that I can listen to guilt-free. I'm gonna break some down for you. Right now, almost all of the songs on Billboard's Hot Rap Songs chart, including Rockstar by Post Malone, Lil Pump's Gucci Gang, Yo Gotti and Nicki Minaj's Rake It Up, Migos' Motorsport, and even Cardi B's popular Bodak Yellow, all refer to women as bitches and hoes. All of them, almost all of the songs. Billboard compiles these charts by combining airplay from all of the radio stations, digital downloads, streaming data, and YouTube views of these songs online. And let me tell you, men are not the only ones buying and listening to rap music in America. And I need that to set in for you. Men are not the only ones listening and supporting and championing this music. And I'm gonna pull over the car for 1 second on this journey and say R. Kelly's name and say it very, very loud, because R. Kelly would not be where R. Kelly is right now if it were not for the support of Black women. I can't stand up here and rally for women's empowerment and the rights of women to live lives free of sexual harassment and abuse and jump in my car and turn on songs with lyrics that assault my very being. I'm gonna try that one more time. I said I can't stand up here and rally for women's empowerment and the right of women to live lives free of sexual harassment and abuse and jump in my car and turn on songs that assault me and my very being. And just like you can't raise a healthy child in a home smoking cigarettes around them every day, parents, you can't raise young sons into men who respect women and young girls into self-respecting women when they're watching you shake your ass and get your groove on the songs with the lyrics that tell them just the opposite. As parents, we have a responsibility. We complain about what grown men do. Think about what they saw when they were children. What led them to that? One of my favorite singers, Jill Scott, says in her song Petition that you say that I'm wrong for stating my opinion. You say that I'm wrong and there'll be quiet consequences too. But I know my rights, babe. There'll be no law abridging the freedom of my speech or the right for me to petition for remedy of grievances. In 2017, it cannot be socially acceptable to complain about racism freely and point out sexual misconduct in the film industry, but not to criticize a rapper's sexism simply because it's art. In the words of Lauryn Hill, baby girl, respect is just a minimum. Sadly, today, hip-hop is an art form that is making billions of dollars off of degrading, humiliating, abusing, harassing, and championing sexual violence against women. And that's a fact. Yeah, Black women in particular. We have to stop admiring and supporting these artists and then pleading ignorance to what they're saying. We have to stop admiring and supporting these artists and then pleading ignorance to what they're saying. Because those are the very songs that make up the soundtrack to you not being able to walk to the park without getting catcalled by some man driving by, or you being called a bitch because you don't respond to some man's, hey baby, what's your name, or some stranger pulling up to me in public with impunity and freely commenting on my ass or some other part of my body. And if any of what I just said has happened to you before, then you need to say me too. I'm also going to close out in the words of another artist who I deeply respect and love. She says, and some of y'all will recognize this, now don't be offended, this is all my opinion, ain't nothing that I'm saying la. This is a true confession of a life learned lesson I was sent here to share with y'all today. My name is Jasmine Canik, and I stand on the shoulders of many great Black women who came before me, including my two grandmothers. It's been an honor to be here with you today, and I just want you to remember, every time you listen and you to music that calls women bitches, that calls women hoes, that talks about all of these different degrading sex acts, you are also being complicit and supporting the degrading, abusing, harassment, all of it. You're supporting that as well, and we need to be more conscious about our music choices, and we cannot just look at the film industry. It's been a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you.
Next up, we got Madeline Merritt. She's an actress and activist who has long fought for equal rights for women in Hollywood and outside of it. She is a survivor. Madeline reminds us today of the connection between misogyny and illegal gender discrimination in Hollywood and the rape culture that hashtag yes all women continue to combat throughout their lives.
It is truly an honor to stand here today with all of these inspiring survivors and say, me too. Too long have we suffered in silence, assuming that our stories of assault were not to be shared, that our stories would only bring shame and damage our identity. But now that a sexual predator sits in the highest office of this land, we can no longer be silenced. In fact, we are currently dethroning the most powerful men in Hollywood who have too long assaulted, intimidated, and silenced us rather than hiring us. In my own life, after 10 years of trying to make a career telling stories, because I believe in the power of stories to change the world, after 10 years of facing continued discrimination, sexual intimidation, looks-based casting, and shut doors, I am no longer afraid, and I seek to empower all people in our community to stand up and make the world a place that our children and our grandchildren deserve to grow up in. Because feminine power empowers, and we are here to take our rightful place. So today I'm here to share with you the story and words of Maria Geese, who couldn't be here. She is an unsung hero in Hollywood who is known as the troublemaker because she spent the last 6 years fighting for employment justice within the Directors Guild of America. After 4 years of activism, after being blacklisted with committees within the DGA, Geese became the person who instigated the biggest industry-wide federal investigation for women directors in Hollywood history, currently underway with the ACLU and Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. This is happening right now as we speak. But back in 1995, she was among the most promising young directors to graduate from UCLA's graduate film program, with multiple awards and a job to direct her first feature. When her film, When Saturday Comes, screened at Cannes, she signed with the William Morris Agency, and she was attached to several feature films and was in preparation to direct episodic TV. It was 1995. She was ready to launch, but who could have guessed that 1995 would mark the year the number of female director hires would hit its all-time peak? For the rest of her career, that number would decline and sink into stasis. She would never work again as a paid female director. She would never work again as a director. She'd never direct an episode of episodic TV. She would be dropped by her agency. She would watch as her male peers became the cinematic voices of our time. She watched as men who hadn't directed features and had half her training become wealthy and sought after TV directors. Men who would go on to assault and intimidate, men who would perpetuate rape culture while shutting us out from telling our stories. She became a lost generation of female voices in American cinema and television. Marginalized as a group, these many she's blamed themselves for their individual failures. Just as many of us here blame ourselves for our individual experiences of discrimination and sexual assault. The virtual absence of women directors in Hollywood is tantamount to the censoring and silencing of female voices in US media, America's most influential global export, and they are silencing us in Hollywood. So way back in 1964, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act established the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, outlawed employment discrimination based on sex. Women do not have to fight that battle again because our state and federal agencies have an illegal obligation to enforce that law. And Hollywood, perhaps the most egregious violator of Title VII in any industry in our nation, has an obligation to obey it. Because of Maria's activism, the Equal Opportunity Employment Opportunity Council is in settlement talks with all six major studios right now. But she wants to share this message with you all today. We can't accept anything less than 50-50 equality for women on the screen and behind the scenes. We need the EEOC studio settlement talks to end up in the Supreme Court. We need this whole conversation to move from Hollywood and into Washington, D.C. It is time for a federal mandate for 50-50 gender hiring on the screen and behind the scenes. 50-50 by 2020, 50-50 by 2020, 50-50 by 2020, 50-50 by 2020. Because, yes, all women have to face discrimination, have to fear sexual assault, have experienced harassment, and all of this is perpetuated by a media that doesn't represent us. We are here to take back our voices, to end the stigma, and to demand equality. For women's power empowers, and we are here to take our power and change the world for the better. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here today, for marching in the streets, for standing up for what's right, for what you believe in, for standing up for all of our bodies, for Mother Earth, for the earth within us. That's why we're here. I'm having my sisters stand on stage with me to sing, and I'm gonna sing a song, and then we're gonna sing a song together. And I am lending my voice, dedicating my voice today to those women who are missing and murdered, especially missing and murdered Indigenous women who can't be here today to speak up, who can't even see their justice served, those who are no longer with us, who suffered such violent crimes and sexual assault. Native American people have a higher rate of sexual assault than any other race in the United States. This song is about sisterhood. It's about standing up for what we believe in and marching in the streets, because these are our streets. And no one can tell us to leave and to stop standing up for what we believe in. This song is called Fight For You.
Save the rivers, save the seas, save the mother and her family. How can you take what you want and say we are free? If you put oil in the water, we won't sit quietly. And we were singing, stand up for what's right. Don't walk, silently into the night. Take my hand and we'll sing. I'll fight for you. Say to the oceans and the streams, save the people who are in need. How can you do what you want and say you come in peace. If you don't open your eyes, how can you see? And we were cheering, stand up for what's right. Don't walk silently to the night. Take my hand and we'll see this through. If you fight for me, I'll fight for you. And don't look down when we march downtown for some truth.
Keep fighting, never give up. Your voice is powerful. Your voice means something. Your voice is beautiful. My name is Rey Zaragoza. Thank you for singing with me.
You've been watching and listening to speeches by women speakers at the hashtag MeToo Survivors March that took place on November 12th in Hollywood, California. Special thanks to Shannon Soper of Studio Vism, who recorded and made available to us this footage. You can find out more at studiovism.com. And we'll post the entire footage on our website, risingupwithsonali.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also find out more about our show at Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.
Rising Up with Sonali is hosted, written, and executive produced by Sonali Kohatkar. Anna Buss is the producer, technical director, and web and social media supervisor. Our theme music is by Grammy Award-winning band Quetzal. Like us on Facebook.com/RU with Sonali. That's the letters RU with Sonali. And follow us on Twitter.com/RU with Sonali. Our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can find all our programs archived and where you can get direct access to all our video and audio files.